Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally Elcordi, and welcome to the to Public Advocate. I have three shows. One is the Mary and Sally Show. This is Public Advocate, and the other one is Ban Vaccines 2013. And of course, my mission is to ban vaccines this year. There's no reason not to. They're 100% poison. They are deadly, and they are intended to be. So there's nothing left to find. And if you go to my blog, Billion, with a B, Billion Toddler March for Survival, .blogspot.com, you will see a legislation, one page, with the ingredients, the diseases, the intent, and that is legislation. It serves two purposes. It's a universal declaration to ban vaccines in 2013, and it is also the legislation to ban vaccines 2013 as legislation. So I ask you to print it out and hand it to everyone you know, including your legislators. But it is a marvelous, very serviceable tool to educate people. So I have 20 actions you can take on my blog, BillionToddlerMarchForSurvival.blogspot.com, and I hope that you will take all of these actions or just one of them. But please do not do nothing. Now, this is the month of activism when it comes to vaccines. This is October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, and it is actually International Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. And I will put the link to our page, International Vaccine and Injury Awareness Month, under the screen as well, so you can join. Or you can join my Sally O'Cordy for NYC Public Advocate page. I keep that completely current on vaccines because I'm running to ban vaccines. And I'm always running to ban vaccines, you know. But this is the year. If we can't do it with the intent on top of everything else, it's because we're lazy. Okay. All right. Now, let's talk about some events that we have, and I will be picking up my guests in 3 minutes, so I have a lot to tell you about in the interim. I want to say that we've had 3 events already. I had a Meet the Candidates where we had a forum for candidates running for New York City public office speak about their issues in a question and answer forum. And, of course, my issue being that vaccines, I educated all the candidates who had come to share their issues about my issue. One gentleman is running against me. Many people are running against me, but if he will take my issue, even vaccine choice, even a philosophical exemption, which is such a lame version of ban vaccines, let me tell you, but it's better than nothing. I don't feel that. You know, would you like a life-stealing vaccine or a non-life-stealing vaccine? It's not put to you that way. It's put to you as a life-saving vaccine. So everybody is saying yes when they should be screaming no and running away, you know, or throwing themselves between a child and a needle bodily. So anyway, all right, so we had a Meet the Candidates. Gigi Bowman and Ed Weaver of Save Long Island had a screening of a vaccine injury-related movie, which is wonderful, and I recommend you do that. Gary Null just came out with one, Silent Epidemic, which I highly recommend. And also, Marcus Hines had a forum, which was, I believe, a call-in forum, and he interviewed people, and he promoted his book, Vacceptable Injuries, which I understand from my friend Kathleen Saravalli is a very good book. I know that his posts to Facebook are terrific. I can't say enough about them, and I repost them constantly. But anyway, so he had an event. I'm having 3 other events wherein I am an adjunct to someone else's event. So I have all these talented friends. I have 2 concerts and 1 comedy show. And I said, do you mind if I make this an event wherein I can get 5 minutes on stage to talk to people and distribute flyers for October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month? And people are being extremely cool about this. And I will post the event to create events, wherein we also have posted the events that have been created. And please attend any that you can. But I prefer, much prefer, that you create your own event, because you'll create a deadline. You'll have to promote it. You must promote an event. And in the promotion of the event, you educate people. So this is why I'm encouraging that. Now, I want to tell you, I got a call from a girlfriend of mine who lives in my neighborhood, and she said, did you distribute those October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month flyers? I said, yes, I did. And she said, well, they're in every store on our major thoroughfare here, on our shopping street. And I said, incredible. Not really incredible. They're in every store every year, because I say to the shop owners, I'm concerned about your kids. And I've got all this information on the back of the flyer. And when you have investigated it, if you feel that there is genuine concern, as I do, won't you join people all over the world in putting this flyer in your shop storefront window? So, if you take a moment and you show concern, because I'm as concerned for their children as I am for anyone's children, you know, and basically be the human that you are with them. And they will respond by posting the flyer in their storefront window. I've never had to post one myself. They all post it. All I do is express concern and provide educational tools for them to get active in a very minor way. They just post it in the window. And we have so many posters to combat in all these drugstores. It's just plastered up and down the windows of the drugstores. And one year I even got a drugstore to post it. So maybe one of the drugstores did. I always talk directly to the pharmacist. So you must be proactive. You can have a brunch, or you can have a any number of things. So let me. You'll see it all the different kinds of events you can have. Now that it is 7 minutes into it, I have just eaten up some of my guest time. Okay, we have two guests today. One is Virginia Young, who has done. I went out to her 1 year, and I said, would you create an event for October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month? And her children decided they'd like to do something for New Year's Eve. They'd like to light a candle in remembrance of those who have passed or been injured by vaccines. And I thought that was beautiful. And so for the past couple of New Year's Eves, we have we've had like a memorial candle lighting on New Year's Eve, which was her children's idea, which is, you know, isn't that great when the kids can take part in it? They always have special and interesting ideas, and I love to enact them. However, Virginia has a very, very sad story to tell. It is an anniversary of sorts for her. Hello, my dear friend.
Hi,
Virginia
Shelly.
Young.
How are you?
I'm better than you are.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. And, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned lighting the candle, because I was thinking about that much lately, because sadly we're going to have to light a candle for my brother. And so I just want to let everyone know, if anyone doesn't know our story, we have a history of vaccine injury in our family, and it made me an advocate for patients' and parents' rights anywhere and everywhere, and it's just what I've done for the last 10 years since my fourth child's reaction, which was just like the big grand reaction, rolling all of our experiences into one. And but it's so important to know, medically, in society's eyes and the doctor's eyes, we don't react. We are still the average American family. There's nothing on. There's very little on file that shows that we react. I reviewed our records, and although it's there in bits and pieces, there's nothing checked off on the vaccine charts have a little column. I don't know if parents notice, pay any attention to this. There's a little column for marking off reactions on an immunization record in the pediatrician's office. There's nothing there that says we reacted, and every now and then the nurse marks in no reaction, even though I will have called the very next day to say, you know, my twins had 107-degree fever, and this is severe. They're not playing. They're not smiling. We've got a fine red rash all over us. They're just sitting here like lumps. And I remember one nurse saying, oh, my word, and she was concerned. And then she said, now are their eyes crossed? I thought, well, what in the world? what kind of a question is that? You know, vaccines are safe, right? Why would they be asking if eyes are crossed? And I'd say no, but I'd list everything off. They never marked anything in my children's chart. And I made the assumption all along, coming from a medical family where I was trained to tell the doctor everything, you know, that the doctor cares, that the patient-doctor relationship is sacred and whatnot, to tell them everything. Nothing was written down. So anyone who knows me, including my brother and family and friends, know that I advocate for patients' rights now. And you don't have to have a strong family history to react to a vaccine. I see it happening all the time. And still today, I witness them, and then I stand and visit with parents within months of a child's reaction, and I hear them say, well, I'm just so sorry for what happened to you. I'm glad we don't have to deal with that. Even though 2 months prior, their child will have been hospitalized after a vaccine. As long as the doctor tells them it's not the vaccine, it's not the vaccine. So that's what happened to us, and that's what happened. We had us doing it over and over again.
What you just said is the most important thing. My doctor said it wasn't the vaccine. That's how I put it together, Virginia.
Right.
That's why
right.
When I realized, while these children were reminding me of my sister, and eventually to find out my sister was among them when I was 50 years old, okay? Everybody said, but the doctor said it wasn't the vaccine, and you can only hear that so many times until you realize this is most assuredly the vaccine. Well, this
right,
is a very
right.
sad day in particular for you, October 1st or 4th. Will you kindly
mm-hmm.
share this horrid story with our audience?
Yes, October 4th, this is marks the one-year anniversary. I walked into my brother's hospital room. He had had a grand mal seizure, 3 hours long. He was taken to one hospital. They couldn't get under control. They put him back in the ambulance and send him on to the next larger hospital. And they sent him into a drug-induced coma. This was the second time in his life he'd had a seizure. The first one was 18 months prior. At this point in time, he's 57 years old, the epitome of health. I mean, he really is strong and healthy. He is, and you name it, he can do it. He's like a jack-of-all-trades renaissance man, very bright man, owned his own company. And he ends up in this one hospital, and it had good care there before. And I'm not saying he didn't have good care there in other respects. However, I walked in after he was off the floor from the CCU, and on the dry erase board, the nurse had written, patient given flu shot in CCU October 4. And my jaw dropped. My heart sunk. I had a pit in my stomach because I knew. Our mother had been given a flu shot, 2001, I believe. It was either 2000, 2001. And she was sick afterwards, and the doctor dismissed it. And it became a long thing, and she just dismissed it. Okay, she's walking around. She's very strong and healthy. She just went on about her business but did not feel right. It's bouts of vertigo, bruising unusually, these little things. The respiratory was like a little bit of a chronic tickle. Okay, I mean, it wasn't bad. And it came and went. And so it was easy to dismiss it because she was so healthy. Now, keep in mind, my mother was generally not vaccinated. A tetanus shot as an adult, that's very little. She grew up in the Depression. She came from an era where the wealthy became vaccinated only, back when this started. And so she didn't come particularly from a wealthy family, and it wasn't something they did. She grew up on a farm, and they believed, you know, they had their natural immunity, and she was fine. But as an adult, she decides to get the flu shot because my twins, who are being vaccinated and falling ill every time, and I mean not passing an illness between each other. I mean, I would take them in at 1 p.m. for a doctor's appointment. My husband would take off work. We would go in two separate rooms. We would have them injected at the same time so they wouldn't have to watch each other be injected. Now, think about this. This is my mind thought, my mindset. Well, no one likes shots, and I don't want to traumatize them, and so let's just do it quickly and have them not watch each other. So we went out of our way to have two nurses in two different rooms to inject them at the same time. And, you know, they shuttle you out, and they would be sick right after. And sometimes within 12 hours, they spike a high fever. They did this with every round of shot, every round of shot. So, sorry, I digress a little bit, but I wanted people to understand the family history was there, but no uh-huh. one got it. And when I was researching it, I was the only one, right? And at that point in time, back in the 90s, I did not know about the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. I did not. They were giving me out-of-date vaccine injury sheet, you know, the green vaccine information sheets, like on the VIS, those little papers that you get. By law, you're supposed to get them. Mine were out of date when I had them, then they didn't even give them to me. They would dismiss it and say, oh, you have so many of these by now. You know the routines. You want this? And I'd say, well, I didn't know by law they had to give it to me. You know, all these little things I didn't know. I didn't know that in 1986, Public Law 99-660 was passed, which is that National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986 that established that National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. I had no idea you couldn't do the industry, anyone. You couldn't touch the nurse, the doctor. You know, really, they can inject you. They could accidentally inject you in an artery or vein. And any number of things can go wrong. You can't touch anyone for what happens to your child, no matter what the severity, even death. And many children out there are left wheelchair-bound and disabled. So what happened to my family, in many respects, was rather minor. Nonetheless, what happened to my mom, it just drug on, and we eventually figured out it was the flu shot. But months later, she was in the emergency room and was sent home because her friend that took her, I couldn't get there in time, the neighbor that took her had to leave for another family issue that was important. And I said, I'm getting there. By the time I get there, the hospital had sent my mother home in a taxi cab, and I found her in the most tremendous pain, in the fetal position, on her couch. And we started piecing together, Mom, you know, don't take the flu shot. And we agreed, you know, no more. But the reason she was doing it was to protect her grandchildren. You know, it goes round and round in this full circle. They will say whatever they need to say to scare you into taking a shot. And it was anecdotal stories from doctors that scared me into it. It was the story that my mother had of her sister having diphtheria at age, I believe, 3 or 4, that scared us all. It was a scary situation, but we didn't stop to analyze it and talk about it. And I said, you know, Mom, what happened? I mean, how long was she in the hospital? And my mom said, well, she's never in the hospital. I said, okay, so back in the 1935 or whatever it was, you were on the farm, post-depression, several families were packed into one house. No one else got it. She had it, and there is evidence that it was something like maybe contaminated goat's milk and other things. And the theory that the vet doctor had that time, that year, was it was the cats, the barn cats were carrying it. I mean, they had no clue where the diphtheria came from, but they made a vaccine for it. And this is what they do with all illnesses now. I mean, SARS, for instance, came and went without the vaccine, but they were hard at work on it immediately, pumping money into it. So what happens is we pump money into the shots to make the shots, and then someone has to pay for it. And by golly, it's going to be all of us, and they're going to make a profit. So in 1986, they got full coverage, and you can't sue them. Now, so it was October 1st. Ironically, here we are October 1st of 1998, the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program fully came into being. And they say it's to ensure adequate supply, stabilize costs, and maintain an accessible and efficient forum for individuals found to be injured by certain vaccines. It's a no-fault alternative to the traditional court system. In other words, they made a faulty product. It brings about lawsuits that are going to put them under. They went to the government and said, we have to have protection or we're not going to make vaccines anymore. And they got full federal and state protection. You cannot touch them. So now we have situations where we have standing orders in hospitals for the flu shot, like it or not, regardless of health status, obviously, regardless of family history, it's happened to my brother. Coming out of CCU, he was given a flu shot, standing orders. He was, despite a family history. And really, if we look back at my brother's personal history, he was heavily vaccinated for international travel. He would break out in hives and blow up. He was physically unrecognizable as himself. And he would go on about his business. He was told it was stress. He's probably had the yellow fever and typhoid, typhus, and a long list of things. I don't know that he hasn't had a plague vaccine that they give to the military. I mean, he had a long list. He would come in from China and then go to Russia and hop all over the place. Angola, he has had a map with little red pinpoints all over. There was not really, I don't think there was hardly a country untouched that he didn't travel to. And so here he has a history. Nonetheless, pretty strong and healthy, but he had recently developed seizures. And yet, despite
outcome of vaccines. I just interjected, which is a typical outcome from vaccines.
Right.
right?
Yeah. Oh, what is a typical outcome of vaccines? Or this is
seizures are a typical outcome
yes,
of vaccines.
Yes, exactly. Seizures are a typical,
put my
very typical.
Chart. She had a very bad reaction to vaccines in the hospital. So while they were there, my sisters were around the clock as she was checking out. My sister went to the bathroom and they inoculated her with a pneumonia vaccine and she had a stroke. What happened to your brother?
Yes, my brother, the vertigo never let up. They had found an irritation on one side in his EEG. He could describe to me all the symptoms that I had after tetanus shot in 1998. Apathy isn't the word for it. You're just so miserable. For me, I would have a tingling feeling. It's like a painful numbness all over. Nausea, complete loss of appetite. You pretty much just want to crawl in a hole and climb into bed. Shuffling gait and whatnot. And vertigo. And doesn't this thing in the room has to spin? You're just very off balance. I would aim for a door and clip my shoulder all the time. I would smash plates as I just wanted to set them on a counter and it would hit the granite or the tile countertop and smash because as far as I was concerned, I had a few more inches to go. Then I would try to readjust and pick something up and I would jam my hand into whatever. Like I dropped my keys, pick up my keys. I jammed my fist many times into the top floor. Over and over and over again, terrible problems. And he was exhibiting all these problems. Memory loss was the worst. And for the owner of a company, with many people looking to him, it was very hard. He had his bachelor's in biomedical engineering and was a real go-getter always. Dear, kind-hearted man, above and beyond, loyal to anyone who knew him as a friend. He had a lot to give back at the age of 57. He still had his whole life. He had the retirement and everything ahead of him. And he was alone, and he took a fall, hit his head on the tile. And autopsy showed that the blow to the head, he bled out over time. I found him. I found him in his home.
What day was this?
It didn't have to happen. That was May. He suffered from October through May 21st, this last May. So, yeah, he had missed his son's graduation. That's something he always talked about making. There was much, much left to do. He and I were just barely getting started. He got it. He said, first, he didn't not support me. He tried to remain neutral. He knew what I did. He understood. He thought it was just ridiculous that they gave him the flu shot. He said, well, now you have no way of knowing what's going on with the seizures. You know, why in the world? You know, if I were to have a problem, how are we going to know what's the seizure and what's the potential flu vaccine? I said, that's it. They will do anything and everything to muddy the waters.
Right, exactly.
So that's,
well,
that's what they do.
They know what they're doing. They actually do know what they're doing. You know, they're all grown up now, just like we are, but they continue to inoculate people. And to inoculate a sick person, I believe in the medical books, it tells you do not vaccinate a sick person. If you're brother was in the hospital, it's because he was sick, and they're mandating this now in Texas where he was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So
and this is something that's far-reaching, and we wouldn't have known it had I not seen that, and they don't want the patients to realize that they are doing this. I'm hearing more and more people getting their medical records and learning that, through the back door, that they had a loved one that was vaccinated with the flu shot, even though they were sick, and they were not given consent. They used standing orders to bypass consent and patient-doctor privilege. And this
so
is
the bottom line is that you come from a family who is in the medical, used to be a profession, now it's the medical-industrial complex, and steer clear of them. This is the bottom line. Don't go near a hospital. Don't go near a pediatrician. That I would have to say something like this. They brought this on themselves. How can they attack their patients?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I use alternative medicine. And I strongly urge everyone, contact your legislators now, state and federal. Let them know you're aware of this. Let your doctors know you're aware of this. We need to work together this shouldn't be happening. We saw it coming. There are many people who testified many years ago. There were entire families wiped out by vaccines who were testifying long before we mandated them. And,
well,
you know, my mother and I...
I can give you five stories in my own family. Of course, all of them denied, you know?
Right.
I have to pick up the next caller, but I want you to say your brother's name, since he has passed away from this H1N1 flu shot that was mandated in a hospital in Texas while he was
mm-hmm.
sick. What was his name?
Denny Kerr. Thank you.
Well,
thank you for giving me this moment.
Thank you very much, Virginia Young, and thank you for your contribution and your children's contribution. That beautiful candle lit every New Year's Eve. It will go on and on. Oh, no, I hope it doesn't go on. I hope this is the last time we ever do that. We're going to ban vaccines in 2013 because there's no reason not to. I must bid you adieu so I can pick up my next guest.
All right. Thank you so much.
Young.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Okay. Hello, this is Sally L. Cordy, and you're on with Public Advocate. What is your name?
Hi, I'm Dina Check.
Hi, how are you, Dina Check?
Hi, how you doing, Sally?
I'm just fine. I didn't know your last name, so I didn't know what to call you. Okay, so welcome to the show, and you are taking action in terms of vaccines, not just because it's October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, because you are fighting for the rights of your child to remain unvaccinated. Why don't you tell us about this?
Well, let's make a long story, crazy, twisted story short. My daughter has an autoimmune disorder that I realized and found out in 2012. But as she's now 6 years old, but when she was an infant, she was inoculated with the DPT and had severe reactions. Her body was completely intoxicated with yeast and toxins that were affecting her growing and absorbing, and she... no one could ever actually even pick up on what it was and why, because it was a delayed reaction. So then, of course, having to treat her with all kinds of medicine and antifungals, we cleared up her situation, of course, in time for her to have another inoculation, which caused situation, but worse.
Of course.
Yes, and then still, you know, all medical professionals, no one would say, you know, what this was caused from, why this was happening. I was in all over New York City in the best hospitals trying to figure out what was wrong with my daughter. And then I have to say that I...
And you didn't realize what was wrong with your daughter was collusion among everybody who is causing this crime.
Exactly.
That's what was wrong with
So... when she was a little bit older, still an infant, again, another inoculation, which was the Convax, was fever, screaming, vomiting, diarrhea, rashes all over her body. So now this intoxication was three times worse now with ear infections. My pediatrician was looking to give her antibiotic to cure the ear infections, which that's what they do in New York State. That's the protocol. I think we're the only state that still does that. I did not understand yet. I did not understand what was happening, what was going on, and I followed his protocol, which led my daughter to go into anaphylactic shock. The only one who could have helped me at that time was our Heavenly Father, and through his favor, I was learning and understanding his word and what he was telling me to do, which was stop these inoculations, stop what you're doing, stop this medicine, stop it. So I listened to my inner truths and I started to learn the word of God more and what he was trying to tell us, that we need to go back to his way. And it's not this vaccine vaccination schedule and medication, medicating. It's poisoning our children. So I went forward now, and I started holistic medicine, and I started treating my daughter and learning more on the right way and the proper way to treat her body, to respect her body in what she needed to be healthy and to heal her. And it worked, and it's been working. But a little twist into the turn, my daughter now has an autoimmune disorder that we now, from testing and blood work and stool tests and everything with the DNA, the MTHF gene, we now know so much more. If I didn't listen to my inner truth and what God was telling me, we don't know where we would be today. And I am so sorry for other parents, this situation. And I feel the need and the necessity to go forward with Congress, with our legislation, with bringing a petition forward to try to help my family and other families that are needing to not have these mandatory vaccinations that are killing our kids. Now they want to mandate a flu vaccine in New York State. On October 22nd, there'll be a hearing at 10 involving to add the flu shot to our vaccine schedule for New York City children, and this applies for Mary as well. And my lawyer, Patricia Finn, will be speaking against the added flu shot on behalf of thousands of parents she represents and a little girl named Kaylin that had passed away. She was from Vermont, who died last Christmas, 6 days after getting a flu vaccine. And
yes,
this has to be stopped.
Heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. Now,
healthy children.
Healthy little girl, yeah. It's just a string. It just broke. It was one last straw, and we are playing Russian roulette with our child's health. And I just want to try as hard as I can to educate parents on, you know, making the proper choice and learning and researching what these immunizations are. And they are poisoning our children. Poisoning him. Our generations
right.
to come, it's torturing us as parents. So
yes.
My goal is to try to have the federal government, I feel, should not be able to force vaccinations onto those who object religiously on moral grounds. It's a direct violation to the First and Ninth Amendments of the constitutional rights, the state in the United States of America. The government is succeeding in robbing us of our rights as parents as well as our civil liberties. I think the American people must unite and protect our constitutional rights before they're just taken away from us right before our eyes. And I have sued the Board of Education in the state of New York because they will not allow my daughter to attend school because I refuse to have her vaccinated based on religious grounds and secondly, for medical reasons. A judge denied my request for an injunction that would have allowed my daughter to return to school while my family's lawsuit against the city over vaccines is heard. It's an atrocity. The religious exemption to vaccinate is one of the ways to protect our religious freedom and human rights to exercise voluntarily informed consent to medical risk-taking. The right of life and liberty is what this United States was founded on, and the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution was put in place to protect our rights to worship freely. It must be protected. In this country, it's our constitutional rights to worship freely and follow individual spiritual beliefs and conscience. Do you agree?
No.
Sally?
I don't. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe
okay.
that life is the most important part of life, liberty, and all the rest of it. And this is 100% poison. It
yeah.
creates death diseases. And we have unearthed the intent to create these deadly diseases via these poisons. So
yes.
I say arrest a lot of them for trying to kill our kids.
Yes. I think we should rally together in this fight and try to save our children. And the time is now that we all have to stand together, because if we don't fight for our kids. Who's going to? Who's going to? And I want to say something
that's really going to wake the adults up, because the adults, they really need to wake up. You know, kids understand. You talk to any child, a child old enough to sit up, okay? They get it. You say no vaccines, they're on you. They take you very seriously.
Yes.
You say it to parents, oh, blah, 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 you know. I trust my pediatrician. I tell you, I get halfway through a sentence and I'm being sprayed by chemtrails so badly here in Queens. We're right between two airports, and
yes,
we get the worst of it. And but what I'm trying to say here is we just basically have to call them on literally murdering our children. And this is what I said to the people in West Virginia. Their legislature voted against mandates. The health commissioner usurped the legislation. Now there are mandates. Now there's criminalization of the parents if they reject. And the child is forced vaccinated. One child was seen to be given 14 shots at once. And then, of course, you got, if the child parents is criminalized for saying no, they go to jail. And then the CPS has to take the kids because there's nobody to raise the child.
Yes.
So you see where all of this is headed. I'm saying let us not pussyfoot around here. Stop
yes.
poisoning our children.
Yes. So, I'm having a fundraiser on October 10th to support Mary's Rights. I'm having this fundraiser to come forward so that I can help my family and other families. We need to get a court to hear us. If everyone just donated a small amount, we could put an end to vaccine of Americans without their consent. We have a right as Americans and citizens of the United States to refuse vaccines. How could somebody tell us that our religion isn't good enough, that or tell me I have to inject my daughter when it could seriously injure her? And her pediatrician says, no, my pediatrician, I have the pediatrician, he's a doll. He's an amazing man. We were just blessed with him, that he understands and he looks at the child's inner ecology of the body before he even decides that it's okay to immunize. I'm just one of the lucky ones who has a pediatrician
that
listens to
Isn't
the
that
parents.
Bad that you're one of the lucky ones who has a conscience?
Yeah,
you know?
He does. He does what's morally correct. So
well,
we really need...
That's a really sad statement, that you are one of the lucky ones. We should all... You shouldn't even consider yourself lucky that your doctor is paying attention to your child's adverse reactions and saying,
I'm
not going to first poison this child. This child's death will not be on my hands, is what he's saying, even if he'll never be sued. He has a mind that is saying, no, I do not want to kill this child.
Exactly. He's doing what's morally correct, what most doctors should be doing, instead of being manipulated into the hands of the government. We could advocate till we're blue in the face, and unless you get a court to look at the matter, change will be a long time to come because people are afraid, and the big pharma is dominating the U.S., and that is what is wrong with Obamacare. It is another big pharma ploy to fund unnecessary and unwanted medical and pharmaceutical treatments that they're just bombarding us with. They're just pushing it on us. And people, you know, the uneducated people are just going and doing what my doctor says. It's okay. Oh, I have to do this because that's what my doctor said. Where's the common sense? Where's your brain? You know?
Dr. Langpott says if you ask people if they trust politicians, you'll find 3% of the population does. If you ask people if they trust their doctor, of course, this was 10 years ago, because quite frankly, if you were to take that poll today, it would be much different. So 80% of people trust their doctor back in the day. And said they don't realize that their doctor's marching orders come from the politicians. And the politicians' marching orders come from Big Pharma.
I know.
And the doctors and the pharmaceutical companies are completely, they're like Teflon. They can cause the problems, but they never pay for it.
No. Well, my daughter has a legal and a medical exemption, and we have a even the judge in the federal court said that my religious beliefs are sincere and true, but she feels that my drive is my daughter's medical condition. Whatever my revelation was or is, that's my business, and they have no right to tell me what I have to do with my child, and I am going to stand on my ground, and I am going to try to do whatever I can to change this in my power, but we need help. We need help from other parents.
Yes, absolutely. You need every single person who's got a child to stand with you and say,
yes.
Absolutely.
So I have a petition right now that's attached to my daughter's website, which is www.supportmarysrights.com. And there's a story, there's an events page, there's a comment section. People can leave comments. They can help in any way. I urge every parent to help in any way that they can by either sharing the petition far and wide, sharing the story. They could go and reach out to my lawyer if maybe they need help, or they can help us in any way. But if we don't rally together, we can't do it. But we need to get in front of a court. We need to go. And this is what this fundraiser is on October 10th is basically about, is, raising money to get us where we need to be. But we can't do it alone. And that's my urge for all parents that are in this boat with me. Let's swim together, because we can't do it alone.
Absolutely correct. You are absolutely right. This is not a one-parent issue, and it affects everybody. And let us just take a moment now I'm going to reveal two facts that young parents need to know. First of all, the H1N1 flu shot, miscarriages have risen 4,250% when a pregnant woman takes one of those, okay? Number two, they're trying to put 49 doses of 14 vaccines in your child through the age of five. And number three, one shot to an infant is the equivalent of 30 shots to you on one day. I have two other things to say. We have stockpiled 300 million doses of the smallpox vaccine, and they've created a very expensive antidote from the smallpox you'll get from that. And also, we have stockpiled 600 million doses of the H7N9 flu shot, which Jane Burgermeister was warning us about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, okay? So wake up, everybody. This is the adults, too. It's not just the kids.
It's all of us. Yeah. So, Sally, in supporting Mary's Choice, the people would be supporting parents and doctors in choosing what is in the best interest of their children and patients. Mary's legal outfits help fight the lawsuit against New York City and the Supreme Court, but also help to raise awareness about the vaccines parents and doctors are forced to give their children and patients, regardless of the ingredients or harmful effects that they may cause.
Now, this is only if you want your child to go to school, right? This currently, I'm not saying about Obamacare, but currently, this moment, it's only if you want your child to go to school. So you can homeschool. I don't want anyone to think that you have to. You can always say no to a vaccine as long as you're willing to homeschool. Please.
Exactly. You know, I've done homeschool. I've done that for a year. Was it successful for me? My daughter, we bonded. We had a wonderful time. But my daughter has a few issues, and she needs to be social with other children in a setting where she's growing from other children. This is my personal experience.
Well,
my daughter needs
to
be with other children.
If push comes to shove, you must network with other homeschooling moms and create a social atmosphere that way. Whatever
I agree.
It takes, you know?
No, absolutely. And if that's what it's going to come down to, then that's what it is. But you want to have the right. You want to have the choice as a parent.
Naturally.
Whether
taxes,
you choose to homeschool or not, you should have the choice. Yes.
Your taxes are paying for this education.
Exactly.
How dare they impose this outrageous poison on our children? So they can get, I say they're trying to dumb our kids down so they can get an education. Tell me how ironic that is.
Okay, now I'm going to say one last word. Your website is going to be underneath the screen of this recording, and everybody can refer directly to it. Say the name of it again, Save Mary's Rights.
It's Support Mary's Rights, and on the website is a petition.
Mary's Rights.
Yes, Support Mary's Rights.
Okay, October 10th is the event, and this is, you say your name again.
My name is Dina Check. It's
okay.
Dina.